Hey everyone, welcome to Taking Stock. Sitting here on a beautiful Friday afternoon in New Jersey, and just had the opportunity to record a conversation with Sam Ruiz from Clarkston. We've chatted with Sam in the past. We actually talked with her back in January around consumer first marketing. And today we talked about sustainability, which you'll hear pretty early on in the conversation. Sam sees a big correlation between the two. We're going to talk about corporate sustainability reports, why more and more companies are thinking about sustainability, not just as a silo within their business, but really something that's embedded throughout all facets of the organization. We're going to talk about how, in a lot of ways, you can't compete in today's market without having sustainability at this epicenter of everything that that you are doing. So great conversation as always with Sam. I think you'll enjoy it. And thanks again for listening. Hey, Sam, how are you?
Good. How are you doing?
I am doing great. Happy Friday.
Yeah, you too. Finally. Long
and
week.
Welcome back. Your second time.
I know. I mean, I'm just such a star on this that it... You were just so excited to bring me back. I know.
You know, you're not our first, second time person.
Well, that kind of ruined my Friday, but thank you.
You're one of like two or three, but it is, okay. It is pretty impressive to come back.
Okay. All right.
We last chatted in like January, which is mind-boggling.
We did.
Think about how much the world has changed.
A lot. Yes, there's been a lot of changes. I think that it's unrecognizable now versus January.
Yes. Looking forward to 2020 just being over.
2021 is going to be a great year.
I was telling someone recently, I'm going to celebrate the turn of the century. Like, I haven't been able to stay awake for New Year's in a while. But as soon as I do, I'm going to celebrate the turn of the century. In fact, like it was, you know, turning the point to the year 2000.
Yeah, I love it.
I think we all are.
I think this is, it's going to be a good New Year's.
Last time you and I chatted, we talked about something completely different to what I want to chat with you about today. We talked about consumer first marketing, which is obviously a passion and an expertise area of expertise for you. Another area of passion for you outside of others like photography and other things and pets and reading and everything in between is sustainability. Yeah. Something that's really important to you. And you are helping push Clarkston towards a better place. You're wanting to push the industry towards a better place. Why is sustainability so important to you personally?
Well, two notes. So one, I don't think it's that different than consumer first. I think that if we are listening to today's consumers, they want to be shopping from companies that align with their values. It's been a huge shift over the past few years. And a lot of companies are finally listening and responding and trying to be more open and transparent about what they're doing and making sure that they're putting processes and tools into place to make sure that their companies are both environmentally and socially sustainable. But on that note, from a personal standpoint, yeah, it's something I'm super passionate about. I love, you know, nature. I love going hiking and spending time in the mountains, and I would love to make sure that what we have today is preserved for future generations. And then from a social standpoint, you know, as a female, obviously, you know, making sure that we have a diverse and equal world is something that is really important.
So let me, and I love that. And that's so many part of the reasons why I have such respect for you. So I want to, challenge something, and I know you're going to prove me wrong, but this is perhaps the cynic in me, because you very creatively tied sustainability to consumer first marketing, and I get it. Mm-hmm. I absolutely do, and I'm also a huge advocate for the idea that consumers are expecting that the brands that they engage with are aligned with their unique value proposition. They want brands that are in kind of aligns kind of culturally, philosophically, just socially around issues that are really important to them. Totally aligned around that. But the cynic in me would say, is that truly impacting the purchasing decisions that they're making on the shelf? So if someone, and I get that consumers are going to say that sustainability is important to them, and they want, but is it truly impacting the decisions that they're making when they're purchasing products as much as we seem to think that it would?
Yeah. I mean, you know, if you do a survey, everyone's going to say like, yeah, I want companies that have good values and yeah. are more friendly to the environment. And I get that. That's definitely, it is cynical, but it's also like a realistic approach, right? That's why polls are inaccurate.
That's kind of you.
Yeah, you're welcome. But, you know, I think that it is a trend that's happening, not only from like a my own personal like poll sort of opinion. You know, the majority of millennials have mm-hmm. actually altered their buying habits to align with the environment. I want to say the number is like 75%. And granted, millennials are a small, you know, group when we look at the whole world population. They do have a lot of buying power. But I think that is really telling. I think as Gen Zs become more, have more buying power and kind of get a little bit older, they're even more socially environmentally driven than the millennial generation. So I think things are actually beginning to shift. You know, a couple of years ago, I would have completely agreed with you. I think that, you know, it was a little bit more of like an aspirational thing. But I think today it is actually changing how people are acting in stores and what they're reaching for.
That's a good thing. That's yeah, you know, the way it should be. And I, you know, certainly what people might respond to in a survey, you know, it's always going to be a little bit different. Mm-hmm. But if we're getting a little bit closer and that gap is closing, that's a good thing. So one of the things that, you know, I brought up in the opening is kind of some of the change that you bring to Clarkston. I want to talk to you a little bit about corporate sustainability reports or CSR reports. Mm-hmm. Where do you see companies? I think it was Unilever that was one of the first that was taking this really, really seriously. I think they at the time had a progressive CEO who really cared about the environment and, you know, wanted to demonstrate that to their shareholders. Why are companies doing this from a, like, and how, I guess, from a report standpoint, are companies starting to embrace corporate sustainability reports? If not, why do we see trends and more companies doing them?
Yeah. So, I think what you raised about Unilever is a great example. I think leadership is beginning to recognize that their consumers do want more sustainable and socially responsible brands mm-hmm. and are looking for ways to make sure that those companies are actually following through with the things that they're promising on their ads. But it's not just consumers, right? Like investors, they're recognizing this consumer trend. And so they're also looking at CSR reports to make sure that the brands that they're, or the companies that they're investing in have good practices in place.
Yeah.
I think as we begin to have more regulations in this space to better protect the environment or better protect, minority groups or underrepresented organizations, you know, it's going to be really important that companies are disclosing their practices mm-hmm. and that they are sharing what they're doing that's responsible.
Yeah. So talk a little bit more about that because, before you and I have had, you know, a lot of discussions around this, my somewhat naive definition of sustainability is, you know, just things that, you know, more, you know, closely tied towards, you know, biodegradable, you know, packaging and, efficiencies in your supply chain and making sure mm-hmm. that, you know, greenhouse emissions and things like that. That was always kind of how I thought about sustainability, but you brought up a lot of things that, have nothing to do with those things that are around diversity and inclusiveness and equity. Is the definition of sustainability and what would be in a CSR report, that's broadening, right?
Yeah, it's definitely not just environmentally focused. It goes all the way out to, you know, the communities that you're working with, your supply chain. You know, a lot of social issues are included in these CSR reports now. You know, efficiencies in a supply chain is obviously hugely important and, mm-hmm. and directly connects to the environment. But you also have to think about the communities that are involved in that supply chain and making sure that they're protected. If there is a natural disaster somewhere and you're producing, I don't know, a fruit or a vegetable that can only grow in a very small, you know, region of the world, that natural disaster will completely wipe out the communities that support your product. So making sure that you are supporting your communities and helping them be able to quickly rebound from natural disasters or any other issues that could, you know, hurt your supply chain is really important. And not only is that like, you know, a business good thing to do, but it's also a very conscious and humane thing to do. And I think it's something that we're seeing a lot now with COVID is a lot of communities are, you know, having spikes and issues, and companies are scrambling to respond to it. And it goes to show which companies, you know, really support and invest in their communities and which companies don't. And I think that this is kind of like an unfortunate wake-up call for a lot of companies that they need to do a better job of, you know, looking at their communities as a whole and not just at their headquarters.
Yeah, that's well said. So let me kind of go back a step and as it relates to, you know, building on a CSR report. What does that process look like? And I know there's a couple of examples. You've worked with a couple of our clients in helping build out those reports. You've also led that initiative within Clarkston in building out our, you know, CSR report. Talk a little bit about that process. I'd be interested also to know, like, why, you know, we, from your perspective, why we felt it was important at Clarkston for us to communicate this as well.
Yeah, so at Clarkston, you know, this has been something that's an extremely big passion for us. A lot of passion projects have gone into the CSR updates with our clients. And as we begin to talk to them about, you know, what they should do and how to communicate with their shareholders and to figure out, you know, how to have an impact on their communities at large and on the environment in a positive way, we also realized that it was time for us to share what we've been doing as well. And as a firm, you know, we've always believed that we need to do the right thing. And it's something that we've, you know, integrated into a lot of different aspects of what we do with our communities, with our stewards, with our clients, you know, for the environment even. And it was just a matter of kind of bringing that together, putting a strategy behind it and making sure that we're moving in a strategic direction and then sharing that out with our stakeholders. So it's for us, it was, you know, fairly simple. We are doing a lot of great things and there's definitely room for improvement and opportunities to continue to do more. But for a typical company who may, you know, not really know where to start, when we do a CSR report, we always start with a materiality analysis. And that's basically our way of identifying what topics, what like sustainability, social or environmental topics are important to your company, can impact your company, and can also be impacted by your company. So where is there a great opportunity to have a big impact? An example of that would be, you know, if you are a food company, your sourcing probably has a huge impact, but also transportation, that footprint is probably really large as well. So rather than maybe focusing on something that may not align as much, maybe education or something like that, looking internally first to see what practices you can put in place that you can easily and quickly make a big impact, and then finding out those other ones that are important and being strategic about investing in those as well.
So you brought something up that kind of prompted a question in my mind, and this has got to be a tough one for any organization. How do you counterbalance the pull of, okay, I've got my environmental responsibility to the world, but I also have my responsibility to my stakeholders. Sometimes those are going to absolutely be aligned, but I would gather that there are many times that those are going to be in conflict with one another. How do you manage that? I would imagine struggle for companies.
It definitely is difficult, and there at times. A lot of times there's a financial investment up front before you even begin to reap the rewards of it. And communicating that is difficult. But I think that's where it becomes really important and why this is such a big overall business strategy issue. as opposed to like a siloed sustainability group within your organization, because there are so many parties that need to be involved and need to buy into it in order for you to be successful. What we've seen and a growing trend lately is that, you know, maybe the sustainability role is no longer this siloed little group that is just, you know, a couple of people who are really passionate about it. It's becoming something that everyone in the organization is part of. It's sales, it's marketing, it's packaging, it's supply chain. It's everybody taking part in these conversations early on to make sure that, you know, you're aligned and those difficult conversations can come up quickly and be resolved.
Do you find that there's a lot of companies that are making claims around, and I guess that's part of the CSR, is you're going to hold yourself accountable to, you know, some of the claims that you might be making. But do you find, you know, I think back to, you know, whether it's companies that are claiming for their products to be organic or, you know, making some, you know, marketing claims. Are you seeing a lot of companies using sustainability as a means to engage with consumers, but yet not necessarily living up to that promise?
Definitely. Yeah. Greenwashing has become a huge issue. And I think it's something that consumers are becoming really sensitive to. You can pretty quickly, if you are willing to do the research, figure out if a company is just saying they're sustainable or if they are, you know, not actually doing anything sustainable other than, you know, throwing a label on their product. But that does kind of fall on consumers to do that research most of the time. There isn't as much regulation when it comes to sustainability as we would like. Obviously, you know, you shouldn't be making legal claims. That is against the law to be making claims that you aren't following through with. But that definitely tends to happen. But like I said, this is something that consumers are becoming more aware of, and they are beginning to see through companies who are just saying that they're green or saying that they're eco-friendly when they aren't actually. And those companies quickly get called out. The internet is not your friend in those situations.
It rarely is in general.
Yeah, exactly. And it's really hard to come back from that too. So when you're writing your sustainability reports, being humble and being honest and being transparent is extremely important, because it's really easy to, you know, want to only show the good parts of what you're doing. It's really easy to, you know, kind of throw all of those lesser known items underneath, like in the closet or whatever. But companies do need to start saying like, hey, we recognize that we aren't as diverse as we should be, or we recognize that we need to like look at our career progression a little bit and make sure we're giving equal opportunities to everyone. And say like, this is today and this is day one and this is where we're starting, and here is our goal for the future, because we know that there's room for improvement. And that really resonates with consumers way more than you trying to pretend that you're perfect, because no one's perfect. We all know that. Like, we know that if you're saying you're perfect, you're hiding something. So, you know, it's definitely important, and that's a challenge for companies. A lot of companies aren't comfortable at first with that honesty, but it truly does resonate.
Yeah, I think about, there's so much growth being realized in our industry from small to mid-sized businesses. Right? And there's so mm-hmm. many things that larger companies could learn from them. And this is absolutely one of them.
Yeah.
I think about any new company that's coming to market now, invariably there's some sort of environmental and or social responsibility, like messaging as part of their story. And you could tell that it's real, whether it's, you know, for every pair of socks that you buy, you know, 50 cents is being donated towards this cause. You know, mm-hmm. so many things like that are out there. I can't recall the last time I've seen a new product introduced to the market that didn't have this as absolutely kind of core to who they were as a company.
Totally. Yeah. A lot of new brands and new products are integrating that into what they do on day one. And I think that's great. It goes to show that this is really something that consumers are looking for and expecting companies to do today.
Yeah, and it's nice to see that it is finally starting to impact the decisions that they're making at the shelf as well.
Yeah,
and help me from being a little bit less cynical about it. Sam, I appreciate your perspective on this. I always learn a ton, Your passion is apparent, and you're helping drive change, certainly within Clarkston and with our clients as well. So we appreciate it.
Yeah, well, thank you for having me. You know, I always love talking about this stuff. So glad it was interesting.
All right. Have a great weekend. Yep. Stay safe. All right.
Thank you. You too.
All right. See you. Bye.
Bye.
So thank you again, Sam, for joining us. And thank you all for listening to this podcast. You know, I've asked Sam the question before around consumers, what they say in a survey versus what they're actually doing on the shelf. And I know it comes across as me being overly cynical. Sam chuckled when I asked her the question because I've asked it of her before. And I guess she was quasi expecting it. But I am excited to see that what consumers say in a survey and what they're saying is important to them is starting to marry up with decisions they're making. Because with that, we're going to see companies start to make change and do what's better for our environment and what's better for our communities. So thanks again for listening. Look forward to you joining us on future editions of Taking Stock. And we'll also